Hello and welcome to this Portland Christian Center podcast. The following message is presented to us by one of our friends and guests here at Portland Christian Center, Alan Huth. Alan will be teaching primarily about the whys and hows of reading the Bible. So now let's join Alan as he shares with us this week's message.
It was nearly 43 years ago. Actually, it was January 24th, 1971. I was 15 years old, and so was my friend Jay. We decided on that day to steal his dad's car, go for a little joyride. And we could take his father's car because his father was never home. And the reason his father was never home was because he was serving in Vietnam. Yes, it was the Vietnam era. And so we went off that day, and we went out east to Colorado Springs. We're flying down this dirt road. At 15, he didn't know how to drive. So he lost control of the car, 60 miles an hour. We fishtailed. The car was crushed. I saw it on the dirt road. The ceiling completely caved in, the wheels tucked under, and I found myself sitting on the dirt road. I don't know if I crawled out of the car, if I was thrown out of the car, I don't know. But I was sitting there looking at that totaled vehicle. And I did what you would do. I started to pat myself down. Am I alive? Am I broken? Am I bleeding? Am I going to make it? Am I okay? And I was able to stand up. And I was fine. My friend was fine. The officers that came to draw up the accident that day said this. They said, "It's a miracle you guys are alive." Got home that night after filling out all the paperwork and going through all the reports and all the stuff you do when something like that happens. And my mother said to me, "You got to get down on your knees and thank God you're alive." And as a 15-year-old boy, I always did what my mother said. Looking right at all you young people. But this time I did, and I thought about it. I went down, I laid on my bed, and I thought, you know, teenagers die in car accidents. Happens all the time. Maybe you know somebody. That day it could have been me. I had no control. I wasn't the driver, I was a passenger. I was in the vehicle. And so I figured out that day that God saved my life physically. And I thought about it. And I thought, you know, he saved my life physically. Maybe there's more to this. And so I decided as a 15-year-old kid to give my life to the Lord and say, "For whatever reason you saved my life, I'm going to live for that reason from now on. I'm going to find it, and I'm going to do whatever you saved my life for, because you've obviously taught me today that you can take my life any moment, any day, any time." And as I did that, I committed my life to the Lord. I heard a voice. And the voice said, "There's a Bible on your bookshelf. Get it down and read it." So I must have heard something, because I got up, I walked over to my bookshelf, and I pulled down the Bible. And I opened it like I would to any other book, and I read the first page, Genesis chapter 1. And the next day I read Genesis chapter 2, and the next day I read Genesis chapter 3. And every day, a chapter a day, for 3.5 years, till I finished the Bible. And then I did what I thought all Christians did. I just started over, and I read the Bible again and again and again. And that's why, as Pastor introduced me, as a daily Bible reader for some over 40 years, four decades, every day. I said to him, "I probably missed a day or two. I don't remember, really, but I read the Bible every day. That's just what God laid on my heart." Now, let's fast forward my life, 30 years. 2002, I'm working in a business consulting firm. I've had a nice career. I've worked at the state legislature. I've been on the state chamber of commerce. I'm in this consulting firm. And God is talking to my heart again, and he's saying, "I want you to do something for me. I want you to go out and convict the body of Christ about my word. And then I want you to encourage them in my word." And so, that's the two things that I get to do this morning. First, convict the body of Christ about the Word of God. And then secondly, encourage you in the Word of God. And so first, the heavy lifting, the tough part, and that's the conviction. You know, it's my number one concern in the church today is the neglect, the indifference of the Bible among Christians. Dr. Woodrow Kroll is president of Back to the Bible. You may hear him on the radio. He says it this way: the Bible has survived the attacks of its critics, but it is struggling to survive the neglect of its friends. Where are we at with the Word of God? Barna Research looks at religious trends in the Christian church, and they did a 20-year study from 1991 to 2011. They looked at 14 different characteristics of the Christian church, and here was the conclusion of that study. The biggest shift has been in people's perceptions of the Bible. In 1991, 46% of adults strongly affirmed that the Bible is totally accurate in all of the principles it teaches. That has slumped to 38% today. So in 20 years, before nearly half the people believed in the Word of God, that dropped to a third. And just, that's our watch, isn't it? It's our time. It's the last 20 years. The perception of what this book really is. Then the study was just updated in 2013. And it gets worse. In the past 2 years, adults who believe the Bible contains everything a person needs to live a meaningful life plummeted from 75% to 66%. So from three-quarters to two-thirds in just 2 years. What's the conclusion of the 2013 study? The middle ground related to the Bible seems to be disappearing. The decrease of Bible-neutral and Bible-friendly people and the increase of Bible antagonists suggests that more people are picking a side. Where are we at today with the Word of God? How many of you believe that this is the Word of God? How many believe this is the Holy Writ? How many would just want to stand up and shout, hallelujah, amen? Let's get back to the Bible. Woo! Amen, right? Yeah, yeah, hallelujah. If we're going to pick sides, let's be on the right side. Let's be on the side of God's Word. 2 Timothy 4, 3 through 5, though, tells us this day would come. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. Boy, we see that in our world today, don't we? All over. Many of us are disappointed as we move further and further and further away from the truth of God's Word. So, I want to do a survey as we finish off 2013, as we walk into 2014. We're going to find out how Portland Christian Center is doing with Bible reading. Everybody ready? All right, everybody stand up. Everybody gets to play. All right, here's the survey. I'm going to ask you three questions. And when the question pertains to you, you sit down. But I'm going to give you the three questions first, okay? So here's the questions. First, I've not read my Bible at all since last Sunday. The second question is, I've read my Bible some, three or four times, but not every day since last Sunday. And the third question is, I've read my Bible every day since last Sunday. Now, I can see it on your faces. You're saying, it was Christmas week. Doesn't he get it? I was really busy. I had presents to get and presents to open and food to make and family over and Bible reading. Where did Bible reading fit in Christmas week? One of the number one Christian holidays of the year. We're going to find out. Ready? Here we go. All right, the first question. I've not read my Bible at all since last Sunday. Please be seated. I've read my Bible some, three or four times, but not every day since last Sunday. Please be seated. And, Pastor, you can look around. I've read my Bible every day since last Sunday. Please be seated. Now, this conviction thing's not very fun, is it? But I think you see now that the statistics are us. We are the statistics. And that is that about 15% of Christians are reading their Bibles on a daily basis. And that's about what you saw in your own church. About 15% of the people were still standing, right? And that's the same everywhere I go. It doesn't matter what denomination I speak in. It doesn't matter what state I speak in. It doesn't matter what size church I speak in. It is the same. It's a conviction about our thoughts in the Word of God. You said you believe this is God's Word. You would shout it, you'd protect it, you'd say hallelujah for it. But what about the gap between our belief and our behavior? All right, enough with the conviction. Okay? Somebody took a deep sigh right there. All right, now we're going to go on to encouragement. So everybody stand up again. You know, I did this in the first service and nobody stood the second time. They didn't trust me at all. You guys are way more trusting. Okay, this is the encouragement. We're going to read from the Word, and we stand in honor of God's Word. Amen? So we're going to read an encouraging passage about the Word of God out of Psalm 19, verses 7 through 11. Here it is up on the screen. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The rules of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, even much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the drippings of the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is your servant warned, and in keeping them there is great reward. And then one more verse, the theme of the message this morning, which is called Sweeter Than Honey, Psalm 119, verse 103. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. You can be seated. It's more fun to be encouraged than to be convicted, right? You see, God Almighty, the maker of heaven and earth, gave us his word. Just think about that. That is awesome. His love for us is so great that he took time to put it down in a book and give us everything we needed to know to live our lives in one volume, not 24 volumes of an encyclopedia, one book, the Word of God. God did that for us. And David described it in those passages as perfect, sure, wise, right, pure, clean, true, righteous, more to be desired than gold. How much time did you spend desiring gold in 2013? How much time did you spend working and making a living and paying the bills and accumulating and getting stuff? And yet we're supposed to desire the Word of God more than the desire for gold? And sweeter than honey to our mouths? And in keeping the Word of God, there is great reward. So, in the church today, is the Word of God sweeter than honey, or are we turning aside to fables? Why read the Bible in 2014? I'm going to give you three reasons. Now, if I just stood up here and gave you three reasons and said, well, because I did, you should, that wouldn't matter, would it? So I'm going to give you three reasons, and they're all right out of the Word of God. I believe that any one of these reasons is good enough for you to commit to daily Bible reading in 2014. But I'm going to give you three to make a comprehensive case for you to spend time in the Scriptures this year. Number one, and you already said this, it's God's Word. Amen? It's God's Word. John 1:1 reminds us, it tells us, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then a few verses later it says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, which we just celebrated a couple days ago, Christmas, when the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The incarnate Word, but also the written Word. The Word was in the beginning. It also will be here at the end. It is God's Word. And 2 Timothy reminds us it's God's breathe. It's God's breath. It's his Word. That alone ought to be reason to read it every day of our lives. Amen? The second reason, God told you to. Now, did God really tell you to read the Bible? Well, let's look at Joshua 1:8. Joshua 1:8 says, the book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Now, how many of you made your New Year's resolution and said, I want to have prosperity in 2014? Anybody want prosperity in 2014? Nobody wants prosperity, Pastor. Nobody's care. Everybody's satisfied. Everything's cool. All right, let me ask that again. How many of you want to have prosperity in 2014? How many of you want to have success, good success in 2014? God just gave us the formula, didn't he? He said, meditate in his word day and night, and then you'll have prosperity, and then you'll have good success. I can't see how any of us could meditate in his word day and night if we're not in it, if we're not spending time in it, if we're not reading the scriptures. So I think God tells us, he wants us, he desires for us to spend time in his word. Number three, he thinks it's pretty important. He thinks his word is pretty important. Psalm 138:2 says, for you have magnified your word above your name. Wow. When my pastor shared that once, I said, that can't be in the Bible. Is that really true? His name. Think about all the names of God. And think about the name that in the Old Testament nobody could even say. It was too holy. You would not even say Yahweh. And yet he puts his word above his name. I get to do TV once in a while. And I was on a show recently, and the pastor that was hosting it started the show with this verse. I didn't know he was going to do that, but he did, and he read the verse, and he had a similar response that I did. He said when he read that verse, he thought the same thing. Wow, God, you really elevate your word above your name? And so he prayed about it, and he said, as a pastor for 17 years, I got the quickest answer to prayer I've ever got, and that is God said to him, if my word is no good, my name is no good. Wow, God thinks his word is pretty important. Those three reasons should be compelling reasons for us in 2014 to commit to daily Bible reading. It's his word. He wants us to read it. It's pretty important to him. I read the passage about honey, though. David claimed that the word of God was sweeter than honey. Let's talk about honey for a minute. What about honey? You know, back then they didn't have sugar, they didn't have sweet and low, they didn't have all the sugar substitutes. And so Albert Barnes was a pastor in the mid-1800s, and he wrote something about honey that I want to share with you. He said, honey was the sweetest of all substances and regarded as an article of luxury. The truth of God, as revealed, affords more pleasure to the soul than that which is esteemed as the highest luxury to the palate. It is loved. It is pleasant. It is agreeable. It is not regarded merely as necessary, as medicine is, but it is received into the soul because it is delighted in, or is more agreeable and pleasant than the most luscious article of food is to the taste. Honey, the sweetest thing David could use, the sweetest thing he knew. Now, what if you were thinking about it and you were going to write that, what would you write there? What is the sweetest thing you could put in your mouth right now? What are you thinking about? Oh, look at the smiles on your faces. Is it a Krispy Kreme donut? Is it your favorite piece of candy? What is it? I mean, think about it. Whatever it is, that's how you would describe the word of God to your soul, because that's what David did. He said, the sweetest thing I know is honey, and that's what the word of God is. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. And yet, the number one reason Christians don't read the Bible is what? This is the interactive part. Now, I don't know how this is going to go when you get to the pearly gates and God says, how'd you like my book? And you go, you had a book? I just didn't have time to read it. Boy, I don't want to say that, and I don't think you do either. And so that's the number one reason that people say they don't read the scriptures is they don't have time. God gives us everything we have, but we don't have time for his word. So I want to make God's word so appealing this morning, so sweeter than honey, that you will want to make time for it every day this year so that you can have a spiritually wonderful life in 2014. So 4 points as to how to enjoy God's word in 2014. Number one, if that's the number one excuse, we got to attack that excuse. So the number one reason, the number one thing we need to do is make time for Bible reading. Psalm 55:17 says, evening and morning and at noon I will pray and cry aloud and he shall hear my voice. So, how many of you are morning people? How many of you are night owls? How many of you are neither? Okay, today, this morning, you got to decide when you're going to read the Bible. Night, morning, sometime during the day. You got to make a choice, make a decision, decide when you're going to read the Bible. Now, when I started at 15 years old, I did it the last thing in the day. Through my teenage years, the last thing I would do is I'd come home and I'd read the Bible. And at that time, I didn't really know how tired I was going to be, what shape I was going to be in, how I felt, how tired I would be. I didn't know. But that was my habit, was to read the last thing of the day. When I got to college, I got in a Bible study with some people, and they thought that maybe it was a good idea for me to try first fruits, try morning. And so I switched to the morning. And you know what? It's easier for me because I can control my mornings. I couldn't control my evenings, but I can control my mornings. It doesn't matter what my first thing of the day is. If I got a 7 o'clock breakfast, I can get up in time to read my Bible. I can do that. And so you decide this morning, what is the best time for you to read the Bible? Is it evening? Is it morning? I got a friend in California that reads his Bible every day at lunchtime, noon, every day. So decide right now when you're going to read the Bible. Next, you think about time. How much time? Well, God gives us 24 hours a day. Most of it is spent working. Most of it is spent sleeping. So let's take maybe the 6 hours that you have free each day, free time. And if we said that's 360 minutes, could we tithe 10% of our free time to God? That would be about 36 minutes, or round it off to 30. You know, if you're going to read the Bible, the whole Bible in 2014, which is going to be the plan that we're going to reveal to you in just a few minutes, you're going to read the whole Bible in 2014, it's going to take us, the average reader, about 20 minutes of Bible reading a day to do that. So carve out right now, decide, I'm going to give God 10% of my free time in 2014. I'm going to read and pray for about 30 minutes a day. Drop the excuse of no time and decide to give God some priority in 2014. We all know time is not the issue anyway, right? It isn't time. We all have the same amount of time. It's priorities. Is God going to be a priority for you in 2014? Number two, read to be transformed, not informed. A lot of times we come to the Bible for the wrong reasons. We come because we should. We come because it's a habit. We come because that's what Christians should do. Those are not good reasons. We need to come so God can transform us through the power of his word. And Hebrews 4:12 tells us that's exactly what can happen. For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Now, what that means to me is there's nothing like the Bible. There's nothing like the Word of God, because it can go between my soul and my spirit. And I don't know where that is, but the Word of God says it can go there, and I want to put it there every day of my life. And where's the place between my thoughts and intents of my heart? I don't know that either. But that verse tells me the Bible will go there. The Word of God will go between my thoughts and the intents of my heart. And I want to put it there every day of my life. Because Jeremiah already told me my heart is desperately wicked. And I want something between my heart and my day. And that's the Word of God, the barrier that can help me every day. That is what the transformation is. It will change us from the inside out. We may not even know it, but if you read the Word of God every day, I know you will be a different person next December 29th. Read to be transformed, not informed. Third, apply God's Word to your daily life. We're not reading for the sake of reading. We're not reading so that we have something else to do on our checklist in 2014. No, we're reading because it's applicable to my daily life. James tells us that, James 1, 22 through 25, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. He who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, a little bit of daily Bible reading maybe right there. We got to continue in the word, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. So if we read and we apply, we're going to be blessed in 2014. I think we want that. We want to be blessed. And so we don't read for the sake of reading. We read to apply the word to our daily lives. Now let me give you an example. It was about 2 years ago, exactly to the day, that I got the worst news in my life. December 28th, 2011, I was diagnosed with prostate cancer. I've been healthy. I've never had a health issue in my life. I was shocked. I was dumbfounded. How could something like this happen to me? I remember after getting the news, I got down on my knees, and I said, well, Lord, I don't know where we're going. I don't know what this is going to do to me, but I know I'm in the same place I was yesterday, and that's in the palm of your hand. And so when you get that kind of news, the next thing that happens is they schedule you for a bone scan and a CT scan to make sure or see if the cancer has spread. If it's spread, it's worse news. And so that was going to be 7 days out. So I had 7 days between the news and that. And if you've been there, and I know some of you have, you think of everything. You don't know if you're going to make it. You have a lot of pillow talk with your spouse, and you wonder if you're ready, and do I really believe all the things I think I believe, and wow. But I was every day in the Word that week. Let me just share the power of God's Word as you apply it to your daily life. On January 1st, Psalm 3:3. But you, O Lord, are a shield about me, my glory and the lifter of my head. Psalm 6:2 through 4. I was just reading through the Psalms that day. I didn't change what I was doing. That I was just reading the Psalms in my quiet time when I got this news. Psalm 6:2 and 4. Be gracious to me, O Lord, for I am languishing. Heal me, O Lord, for my bones are troubled. Turn, O Lord, deliver my life. Save me for the sake of your steadfast love. On January 3rd, 2 days before the scans, Psalm 17:3. You have tried my heart. You have visited me by night. You have tested me, and you will find nothing. Wow. Then the scans. 2 days after the testing, January 8th, after the test, found nothing. Psalm 42:2-4. The Lord protects him and keeps him alive. He is called blessed in the land. You do not give him up to the will of his enemies. The Lord sustains him on his sick bed. In his illness, you restored him to full health. As for me, I said, O Lord, be gracious to me and heal me. God's word, in the biggest crisis in my life, the power, the comfort of just my daily Bible reading. God knew what I was going to go through. I didn't know. He knows what you're going to go through in 2014. You don't know. But if you're daily in his word, he's going to sustain you. He's going to take care of you. He's going to protect you. He's going to encourage you. So commit to the reading of Scripture, because that day, if I would have just tried to pick and stab help in the Word of God, I'm not sure I could have found what I needed. But God knew. He took care of me. He applied the Word of God to my life. By the way, it's 2 years later. I'm still here. God healed me. I went through all the stuff, surgery, radiation, hormones, and my PSA, men, is 0.001 undetectable. To God be the glory. Amen. The fourth way to enjoy God's word this year is to journal. Now, that may be a weird one. You might have liked the first three, but this one, wow. Jeremiah 30, verse 2 says, write in a book for yourself all the words that I have spoken to you. And I strongly encourage journaling for a couple of reasons. One, because the number two reason that people say they don't read the Bible is no discipline. So we got to get some discipline in our Bible reading. And so this is the disciplinary tool I've used for well over 30 years, and that is to journal your Bible reading. And so all you do is you get this journal, which we're going to have out at the table, and a schedule of the Bible reading plan for this year. And then you jot down what God spoke to you in your heart that day. So, yeah, there's a lot of blank pages. There's some other very interesting material in here about the Word of God. But I write down something every day after I read. It will change the way you read the Bible. And that is, you'll write down the holy utterances of the Lord. You'll write down your favorite verse. You'll write down, what did God say to me today? And if you just read, you go off, you kind of forget about it. But if you say, wait a minute, if I got to jot something down today, it'll change the way I read the scriptures. So I encourage you, if you've struggled with Bible reading, try this. Try this this year. Plus, you're going to read the whole Bible this year. What a tremendous thing to have is a record of what God spoke to you through the Bible in 2014. And so I encourage you to journal. It will change the way you read the Bible. Now I'm looking at all the men in the audience. And you're going, are you kidding me? I want a bumper sticker that says, Real Men Journal. I haven't done it because it's not going to sell very well, is it, guys? But men, if you struggle with Bible reading, try it. Maybe your wife will buy you a journal for your Happy New Year gift. So what's the plan for 2014 at Portland Christian Center? Here's the plan. And that is, we're going to read the scriptures chronologically. We're going to read the whole Bible this year. What an awesome, fun journey through the scriptures. And I want to look at all the young people in the audience. In fact, I want to have all of you that are about 15 to stand up. Anybody that's a teenager, stand up. Because I saw you come in, you got a lot of energy, you got a lot of excitement. Now, what age did I start reading the Bible every day? 15. So you can do this. And this will change your life, young people. If you say you're going to read the Bible this year every day, and there's no reason why you can't say it for the rest of my life, you'll turn out like me. No. That's a scary thought. No, please be seated. But I want to just include you. This is not for all the grown-ups. This is for you, too. You can make this commitment to read the scripture this year. And so, if you know, you go home today and somebody says, well, how was church? And you say, well, this guy showed up and he told me to read my Bible. They're going to go, oh, that was good. Okay? If you don't leave with a plan, you won't have any more success than you've had in the past. So here's the plan, the chronological plan. And it's available to you in a journal form or a schedule. If you don't want a journal, then the schedule's here. These are going to be $9 today, but on special for you, 2 for $15. So find somebody and say, I will if you will. And you go back and get two of them. If you don't want to do that, you get a schedule for $3 and you read the Bible chronologically this year as a church. That's the game plan. Now, unfortunately, UPS has the journals. You've been reading the news, hearing the news, and we are caught up in the news. So the journals are coming. They are on their way. They didn't show up yesterday. They might be here tomorrow. They might be here Tuesday. They might be here January 2nd. They might be here in March. But they are coming. UPS has them, and they're on their way. So today, you go back to the table, and you pay for it. You sign up, and then next Sunday, you come and get it, and you're ready to go. So, but the schedules are here. I brought the schedules. So they're here. Now, ushers are going to come and hand to you a Bible reading commitment card. Everybody gets a card. Everybody in here. Doesn't matter what age, everybody gets a card. And the card simply asks you one thing. Did you commit to daily Bible reading, yes or no? It also says, did you commit to journaling, yes or no? That's obviously not nearly as important. All the other information I don't need. I know where I am today. There's a place on the bottom that gives me your contact information if you want to. It's optional. If you want to check that card, yes or no, and you want to be anonymous, you go ahead and do that. We want everybody to fill out a card, though, so Pastor knows who is on board with reading the Bible in Portland Christian Center in 2014. So ushers, just pass them out. Everybody gets a card, and you'll see that. We're going to pray in a minute about this commitment. But I want to share why we do this. Why would we make a covenant with God about this? 2 Kings 23, verses 3 through 4, say this. It's about the story of the boyhood King Josiah. And the book of the law was found in the rubble of the temple that day, and it was brought to the king, and it was read to him. And he, for the first time, heard the word of God. And this was his response. Josiah, his response. Then the king stood by a pillar and made a covenant before the Lord to follow the Lord and to keep his commandments and his testimonies and his statutes with all his heart, all his soul, to perform the words of this covenant that were written in this book. And all the people took a stand for the covenant. You see, when Josiah heard the word for the first time, he understood the value of God's word. He understood that it was God's word. He knew what he heard was special, that maybe it was even above the name he couldn't even pronounce, Yahweh. And he made time for God's word. He allowed it to transform him, and he decided to apply it to his daily life. And when he did, all the people decided to stand with the king, or with your pastor, as he commits to go through the journey of the scriptures chronologically in 2014. The people made the same covenant as the king. Writing a little covenant today is a biblical practice. Let's pray. Father, as we quiet our hearts before you, we are thankful for 2013. We're thankful for the many, many blessings you gave us this past year. And yet, maybe we took the word for granted. Maybe we neglected your word in 2013. And maybe some of us want a prayer of confession as we confess our heart, our attitude toward your word in this now coming up past year. And Lord, we thank you that you're the God of the second chance. You love us. You gave us your word. So we pray as we contemplate a new year, not for a new year's resolution, but a change in our Christian walk. Daily time in your word. We pray, Lord, for the transformation that can occur in my personal life as you speak to me each and every day through your word. We pray for the transformation that occur in my family, my home, if we were all reading the Bible. We pray for the transformation that might occur in this church, Portland Christian Center, if everybody here read the Bible every day. Wow, what a difference this church would be. And we pray for Portland as this church would shine the light of the word throughout this community. Lord, we pray that you would help us make a commitment to spend time with you each and every day. And we thank you for what you'll do in transforming us as we do so. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to this Portland Christian Center podcast featuring part of our Christmas series for 2013. If you live in the Portland, Oregon area and are looking for a place to connect or visiting us here in Oregon, please join us for one of our services. For more information about our church, you can find it right here on our website, and that's pcctoday.com.